Hello and welcome to Sundial on WLRN. I'm Luis Hernandez. Thanks so much for joining us. Have you gotten a robocall lately? They're that automated call that you get on your cell phone. They're either selling you something or sometimes they're telling you that you owe money. They sound something like this.
The IRS is filing lawsuit against you. To get more information about this case file, please call immediately on our department number 202.
All right, we're going to just not bother with the rest of that. The New York Times reported there were 3.4 billion robocalls in the United States in April alone. Many Florida residents have been targeted by robocalls, and they're often scams. The Miami-based man Adrian Abramovich made 100 million spoofed robocalls and is now required to pay a $120 million fine. We'll explain what spoofed is, by the way. And Florida resident James Hunter has filed a lawsuit against the student loan company Navient after they made 2,500 automated phone calls over his loan payments. Hunter, by the way, is paralyzed from the waist down, and he got his student loans forgiven. Now, the future of robocalling is in flux. New legislation passed in Florida allows telecommunications providers to block many of these robocalls. Similar legislation was passed on the federal level. Well, joining us now in studio is Republican State Senator Denise Grimsley, representing Florida's 26th district. Senator Grimsley was behind the state bill, and I want to welcome her to the studio. Senator, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me today. It's a pleasure to be here.
And, of course, we've been collecting your robocall stories. You'll hear from some of them throughout this conversation. And, of course, if you have something that you want to share, you have a question about how these things work or how to protect yourself, tweet us at WLRN Sundial or post your comment or question on Facebook, again, WLRN Sundial, and we'll read some of those during today's segment. Senator Grimsley, you wrote the Florida Call Blocking Act. There was a substitution bill in its place, basically doing most of the same stuff. It was signed into law. It's going into effect July 1st. First of all, tell us what the bill is. What is the final law, and what is it going to do?
Well, essentially, and let me talk to you about how I got interested in this first off, because this woman named Elizabeth calls me four or five times a day, and she tries to sell me a vacation package. Now, she's an automated woman calling me, but it's very annoying. And so I started looking into it to try to figure out, well, why is the do not call list working? Because I'm on the do not call list, both in the state level and on the federal level. And then I realized what was actually happening. These calls are coming from overseas. They're ignoring the do not call list. And I mean, they're annoying, number one, but make no mistake about it. They're after your personal information and they're after your money.
How often were you getting those calls?
Four or five times a day.
For how long?
It's been going on for months. And now in the last couple of weeks, I have not gotten any calls, amazingly. And I don't know if that's because we've gotten more publicity about the legislation or what, but I expect it to start back up, though. I don't think there'll be much of a hiatus in that. But when I started nosing around into it to try to figure it out, I realized when I'm talking to the carriers like the AT&Ts, the Verizons, the CenturyLinks of the world, that they didn't feel like they had the legal authority to preempt those calls that they know are coming from overseas. And so I set about in the fall of last year to write this piece of legislation to give them that authority. And then in November of last year, the federal government came along and Federal Trade Commission and passed a rule that also gave the same authority federally. So now we have a rule on the federal level, but we also have the state law that has passed. The governor signed it. It goes into effect July 1st, and so we have double coverage.
All right, unlike the no-call list that exists, as a consumer and as a voter, as a resident, do I have to do anything, or is this more the impetus on the providers to protect me against them?
It's more on the carriers, but you still need to be on the do not call list. You need to go on to the Florida Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services and sign up for the call list. And then you also need to go to consumer.ftc. FTC stands for Federal Trade Commission. It's consumer.ftc.org and sign up for the federal no call list as well.
So I have to do those things before even the law goes into place, and then I'm going to have that extra layer of protection.
Correct.
Let's take a listen to a message from one of our listeners about her robocall experience. This is Nora from West Palm Beach.
The other night, my phone rang, and when I flipped it over to take a look, it was me calling me. At first, I was a little put off by it because there's my picture and my phone number calling my phone. And I told my daughter, look, I'm calling myself. She said, see what you have to say. I picked it up and it was AT&T allegedly saying my number had been flagged for fraud and that I would need to give them my last four digits of my Social Security number immediately. I laughed and hung up. I got that call two more times. And then this week, just starting on Monday, I've gotten several calls from people saying they missed a call from me. I made a choice to call AT&T and they had told me my number had been phished and was being used to mask other people's true numbers. I hope they're not trying to pull the same scam using my phone number.
So, first of all, robocalls in general, they're illegal, right?
They are illegal. And I'm laughing at this because I got the same call last week.
Oh, you did?
I did. And what you need to do when you get that is screenshot the call coming in and then go to the FTC, the consumer.ftc.org, or sorry, .gov, and file that complaint with them.
Wow. Oh, okay. So, you know, they're finding as many ways as possible. One of the things I thought was interesting that you said is that we don't know how many, but a lot of these are coming from overseas. This is one of the loopholes. This is how they find a way to get around the law, is basically they're calling from overseas.
We do. And so the carriers have lists. It's called the Do Not Originate numbers, or it's the North American numbering system. If the number that's being called from is not on one of those lists, then they know it's from overseas. So they have known where these calls are coming from. They just haven't had the legal authority to preempt them, and now they do.
And I should clarify, are all robocalls illegal, or is just the ones that are coming from overseas?
The ones that are not let me back up.
Yeah.
They are all illegal if you are on the do not call list.
Okay.
Unless it's certain charities are exempted and certain political calls are exempted, but otherwise, anyone trying to get your personal information, that's illegal. So with addition to this bill, the calls that are coming from overseas, the carriers will have the ability to block those. And yes, they are illegal.
Does the law have the teeth? I mean, one of the complaints I remember hearing is like people will say, well, wait a minute, I'm on the no-call list. You said it yourself, and all of a sudden I'm getting these calls. So, I mean, do you foresee any issues where these robocallers are just going to try to find a way around this now?
Well, I think anytime you pass legislation, the bad guys always try to find with the invent of technology, a ways around it. And it's just something that we have to stay ahead of. But I'm as frustrated with it as anyone else that's listening to this program, because, I mean, like I said, they're annoying, but they are after your information.
Have you heard from a lot of your constituents about this?
Oh, yeah. Everywhere I go to speak, you know, when we go before the legislative session and after, I mean, that's the number one complaint. And I always ask them, do you think the do not call list is working? And they say no. I mean, resoundingly, no, it's not working.
Again, I'm talking about this thing that we all know so well, because I think we've all been hit at some point, robocalls. And there are billions going out every month, not every year, every month across the United States, impacting a lot of people. Now, look, some people say they just ignore them. There's still a cost. And of course, some people fall for the scams because some of these robocalls, they're getting your information, they're stealing identities, or they're getting money from people. And we're talking about in the millions. And again, I am talking, joined here in studio now by Republican State Senator Denise Grimsley, representing Florida's 26th district. She, again, had passed she'd written a bill this past session, and there was another bill that was passed into law, very similar, again, trying to protect us from these robocalls, and it goes into effect July 1st. By the way, we'll have more information on what that bill is, what that law is, on our website later today. And again, we want to hear from you. If you have had experiences, you have a question, what should you do? How to deal with this? Or you just have an experience that just is annoying or that is bothersome or even frightening, tweet us at WLRN Sundial or Facebook. Find us on Facebook, WLRN Sundial. We'd love to hear your story. This story is from Polk County Sheriff's Office Facebook page from last year. It says, spoofing, because I mentioned that earlier, is when a scammer calls people using a phone number that is either just like yours, one of your friends, or a legitimate business. In one particular case, a victim showed the Polk County Sheriff's Office number on the caller ID, and the caller/scammer told the victim to send a $100 gift card or the victim would be arrested. Come on, man. I mean, you know that's not how we operate, and neither does anyone else, for example, the IRS. Senator Grimsley, how many times have you heard people come to you and admit that they fell for the scam? They fell for something like that.
A few people do. It's usually senior citizens that didn't quite, you know, they don't hear well, and they only get part of the conversation, and so then they give out their personal information, and the sheriff's office says the same thing. That's typically, and that's what these guys are banking on. And I get the question a lot of times, well, why is it so much more prevalent now? It's more prevalent with the invention of technology, like the auto dialers are relatively new. The voice over internet protocol is still somewhat new. Those things make it a lot easier for these guys to make these phone calls.
That and also our cell phones are a little bit easier for people to reach us, not just through calls, but texts as well, than older phones, I guess.
You make a good point, because you go back to the landline phones. Usually the telemarketers were only calling at dinner time. So now it's 24 hours a day that people are calling you. And I have a phone that we use just in our campaign office that my assistant actually went and set the account up, so it's under her name. I got a call the other day on that, and I answered the phone, and she asked for my assistant's husband is who she asked for. And I said, well, you've called an office. And she says, no, I'm trying to reach, and she said her name. And I said, she wanted to sell her some home insurance. I said, and she had a foreign accent. I'm like, you don't understand. Do not call this number again. And that's, so they're calling the cell phone numbers all hours of the day and night.
So we have another one. This is Therese. Therese in West Palm Beach got a strange sounding scam on her call. She raises an interesting point about how robocalls are beyond just a nuisance for people. Here's what she said.
A few weeks ago, I got a phone call from a number I did not recognize. And when I answered, it was a recording stating that I owed the U.S. government hundreds of dollars. I hung up. A couple minutes later, the same number popped up, so I did not answer it. And a recording was left for me stating that I needed to call to make payment arrangements to satisfy the hundreds of dollars that I owe the U.S. government. Now what I do is I don't answer my phone calls if the number is not popping up in my contact list or if I don't recognize the number, which causes another problem because then I miss phone calls that I really need to answer.
Yeah, that's another problem, is that some people will say, well, I just ignore these things, except, look, I read a story out of the New York Times where a doctor was getting a bunch of these and said, well, I'm just going to ignore this, except one time the call was a real call from another doctor who said, we need your help on this patient. And so he didn't get the call and wasn't able to help the patient. And now you're telling me they're calling your office, one of your office phones.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I'll tell you another story. On the way here this morning, I picked up the phone and called a doctor, actually, and an old friend of mine that I hadn't talked to in a long time, so he didn't have my number in his phone, and he picked up the phone and he never said anything, and I knew he was on the other end, and I waited, and it was probably a good minute before he finally said something, and I responded and told him who I was, and he said, oh, I wasn't saying anything because I thought you might be a robocall. I was waiting for it to kick in because I didn't recognize the number.
I mean, I'm laughing only because it's just the absurdity of it.
Well, I suspect he probably has had a situation where he missed a call, and so that's his method. He's just going to sit and wait and see if they start talking.
We did get one question coming in, I believe, through Twitter. I'm trying to pull it up now, but basically I think it was that somebody was asking is there a way to tell? I mean, if you're getting some of these spoofing calls, again, they're using numbers, you may know. But is there another way to tell? Is there at least an easy way to spot it so that you could ignore it?
Not to my knowledge. I don't know of a way because they come from local numbers. I did read, interestingly enough, an article this morning about an app that's been created that's, I believe it was $1.99 a month. It's called RoboKiller. And so I'm going to download that to try. It's supposedly that is supposed to recognize some of these numbers.
RoboKiller. All right, so I haven't heard of that app. I don't know if anybody's ever tried any of these apps and knows about them, then, you know, by all means, please share. We did get a message on Facebook. Again, our Facebook, find us at WLRN Sundial. Heather Young says, despite being on the state's Do Not Call list, I get these calls daily or weekly on my home phone. The latest recordings are, one, selling me a vacation in Orlando, two, the Microsoft IT scam, Windows is out of date on your computer, etc. If I speak to a human and request that number by that my number be deleted or challenged, then they just hang up and call back later. And she also said too, I think you had said this, Senator, is that sometimes you get a foreign sounding accent when you pick up. Again, coming back to the law, I just want to get your sense of what you think, what kind of dent is this law going to do in slowing these down. Billions a month.
Well, in Florida alone, it was 588,000. You said 3.4 billion. That's national. Florida alone was 588,000. We are second only to California, which is 800 and something thousand. I do think it'll have an impact if the carriers actually engage and do this, which they are supposed to do. If they don't, we're going to have to figure out what we have to do to either incentivize them to do it or to mandate them to do it.
And is it because we're also talking, I mentioned too, that on a national level, they're trying to pass legislation again to try to tighten this up. But is it, again, as a consumer, I mean, am I hoping more that the state law is going to be enough, or it really do I have to depend on the federal government to protect me?
Well, I think you get a duplication here of a federal rule and a law, so you're adequately protected as a Floridian. I feel like, based on my conversations with all of the carriers, they want to do something about this. So I think they're looking at they're going to jump at the chance once actually they don't even have to wait for the law to go into effect. They can go ahead and start doing this under the federal rule. And I think some of them are doing that. And I believe in a year from now, we're going to see a reduction in some of these calls.
You know, again, we heard from a number of you about your robocall stories, and I just want to share some of these. Here's some of the more of the experiences from our listeners.
The robocallers are using my personal home phone number as their caller ID.
In most instances, they use the first six numbers of my cell phone number.
All the calls are just silent. They don't say anything, so you just hang up. And others are obvious cameras, such as the one that said my computer had been flagged by AT&T.
People who I don't know are calling me and saying they've received a call from my phone number.
I have called back to find doctors, lawyers, that they don't understand or they don't even know that somebody else is using their phone to do robocalls.
To talk to a representative and that I had to input my social security number. Of course, I hung up.
And again, that's our listeners sharing their stories with us. Again, they're just coming in droves. Everybody's experienced this, I think, at some point. I know I have as well.
Yeah, same thing. I mean, I had several people over the last month call me back and say, you just called me. And I'm like, I didn't call you. So I know they're using my number too. But it's important for the listeners to realize that you do need to file a complaint about these. I gave you the website consumer.ftc.gov, but also on the state level, the Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services, the number to file a complaint is 1-800-435-7352. You can also go online and just Google, how do I file a complaint with the Florida Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services, and it'll pop you right up to their webpage where you can fill out a form send it in.
We'll make sure we get that number and that website up on our social media so that, again, if you have any questions, those are the places you can go at least to start. And again, this law does take effect again July 1st in the state of Florida. But, you know, it just if any one thing left that you could tell, you know, your listener, Senator, is what advice would you give them?
Please file a complaint. Please do everything you can to educate your neighbor about what to do, because so many times we're all busy. We're working. We just ignore that and we move on. We have to file these complaints in order so we can have the idea of where they're coming from, how it's happening. But I do believe that we're going to see some impact from this legislation in the next 12 months. And I am looking forward to getting rid of Elizabeth calling me.
And as you said, too, is get on that no-call list.
Yes.
As well.
Yes, because
if
you're not on the do-not-call list, anyone can call you. If you're on the do-not-call list, it is illegal for them to call you.
Again, State Senator Denise Grimsley talking about that law and protecting us from robocalls. And again, you could keep sharing your stories. Find us on Facebook, WLRN Sundial. Let us know what are your experiences or any questions you may have. Senator, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right, still to come, we're going to hear from the Dutch journalist who took down a notorious Nazi war criminal. His story has been turned into a televised drama that's being screened in Boca Raton. That's next on Sundial here on WLRN.